A lot of Melbourne Storm fans were very excited when Sandor Earl joined the footy club last year. A bit of a delayed start to hopefully what's going to be a terrific return to the NRL, and he joins us in the studio. Morning, Sandor.
Morning, mate. Thanks. Nice for having me, boys.
Hey, thanks for popping in. Now, unfortunately for you, we were hoping, I guess, from a Melbourne Storm fans' perspective, to see you early in the season. It's going to be a bit of a delayed start, an ACL in November last year. How are you tracking?
Yeah, obviously a very unfortunate start after such an exciting moment, being able to obviously get the opportunity with the club. But yeah, we're 5 months in now, so it's been a tough road. Obviously not what I expected, but on the other end of it now, and everything's positive. So just working towards, you know, probably a couple of months away from playing again. So in hindsight, it's gone quick, and just excited about what's ahead now.
Sandor, I read with interest you actually penned a letter to Craig Bellamy. Two questions. Obviously very passionate to play, and what was it like meeting him and him calling you up for a coffee?
Mate, unbelievable. When I talk to people now about the experience of training, I'm still pinching myself sitting in a room with Craig, listening to him talk to the team and, you know, guys like Billy and Cam and things like that. Like, I still sit there and they've got such an aura about them. So when I got to meet up with Craig, obviously I wanted to just let him know what my intentions are, and feel like that was the best way rather than go through my manager or anything like that. And then meeting up with him and having a coffee, it's just a really open conversation. And for him to sort of express interest and give me that opportunity basically straight away, that just set the tone for everything that was ahead. And just like to have faith in me then, it was pretty special.
So in the letter, it's great that you actually did that, the time to pen a letter. What are some of the key points you actually putting it down on paper, thinking, yeah, I really want to do this, and without getting into the whole emotive side of it, what were some of the key things you put in that letter?
I think one of the first things I actually said, and it was, I've sat down and, you know, wrote this letter in my head 1,000 times, and if I'm going to write a letter, I may as well, you know, tell you the whole story. So I basically just run him through my career and the ups and downs I've been through to sort of give him an understanding of where I'm at, and then just basically what my intentions were. And, you know, I was probably, pretty confident, I suppose, saying what I think I can do and what I believe I can add to the team, and just letting him understand that. And I think that was just the best way to get it across. Yeah. So
why Melbourne? Of all of the clubs, and you could have had your choice of all of them, what was it that appealed to you most about the Melbourne Storm?
Yeah, and again, that's another thing I definitely mentioned. It was basically a conversation with my manager post. I actually lived in Thailand for a couple of years just to get away. And when I decided I was always going to come back to football, that was always my intention. And when I thought, I've got one last crack to do this realistically. And if you're ever going to see how good you can be, where's it going to be? And it was a pretty easy decision. It was the Melbourne Storm. So just sat with my manager and said, look, this is what I want to do. This is the best option for me. Didn't think it was going to be easy at all. But as I said, if I was ever going to see how good I could be for that one last opportunity, that was definitely the place to be.
You moved to Thailand with your girlfriend for how many years?
I met her over there, actually.
Oh, you met her over there?
She's English. We were there for about 3.5 years.
Tell us about life over there, and then the amount of work that you've put in to be able to come back and walk into an NRL club. What was a day like living in Thailand?
Yeah, mate, it was pretty amazing, to be honest. I'd actually been there with a few of the boys on a bit of a training camp in Phuket. There's sort of a fitness holiday destination. Went over there, and I just needed to get away, obviously, initially. And then I had always sort of had a bit of a, you know, interest off the field. So I actually started a cafe pretty quickly and then followed up with a gym. So for me, mate, I didn't have to cook, clean, no bills, rode a scooter, lived by the beach. And mate, it was pretty special. Got to travel. So although I worked hard over those few years, got to meet so many people, travel and just get outside of my bubble, which, you know, with football, that's sort of the reality. So just matured and grew up pretty quickly.
And you've also involved in an F45 in the city now?
Yes, in Little Collins Street. So that's my baby.
How often do you get down there and actually help out?
Quite a bit. You know, before football, I was juggling training every day with working in there every day. So that was pretty special as well, getting to know everyone. But now try and juggle it, like get in there as much as I can for a morning, evening, afternoon session and, get amongst it. We've got an awesome team there.
I must admit, walking in here this morning, Sandor, I've had to sort of suck me gut a little bit. You're actually a very good-looking rooster.
Your body language has changed in the last 15 minutes.
I'm looking at him. I thought he had... His quads are that muscly. He's put holes in his jeans, but I think that's the fashion. You've got a good rig, mate. There's no doubting whatsoever. And the F45, my daughters do it, and, you know, just giving you a bit of and obviously getting that business, going over to Thailand, it's given you a different perspective on life, hasn't it, obviously?
100%. I mean, you know, I don't know if it's a privilege to play in the NRL. Everyone that makes it to that stage has earned the right to get there. But, mate, when you're working all day, you soon realise that we're pretty lucky to be able to play footy.
And I know that, you know, you've got to put the score on the board, and you will. I've got no doubting that when you get back from your knee, and we'll talk about that very shortly. But you've actually got a great story to tell any youngster out there right now about the opportunities maybe that you did have initially and you didn't, and you took it all for granted. So what would you tell a couple of youngsters, whether it's rugby, footy, tennis, sitting in the car, going to school right now, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I guess for me, it's how you face adversity and understanding that it's inevitable. You know, you are going to make mistakes. You are going to fail. You're not going to make the team you wanted to make, but it's how you're going to get through that. And for me, facing the reality, whether it's injury or being suspended, facing that reality early on and then saying, okay, what can I control? What am I going to do next? Set yourself some tasks and goals and just get through it. And I think the more things you can get through, you come out the other end a lot better.
Melbourne Storm, Sander Earle joining us this morning on SEM Breakfast.
Well, speaking about getting through, we've touched on your ACL. Is it true that you're about 10 weeks ahead of schedule?
Yeah, I think...
How?
Yeah, how? I don't know how you quantify it, 10 weeks exactly, but I'm definitely tracking quite far ahead. I mean, I can't really compare my knees. As I said, was saying earlier, I've done my other knee when I was younger, sort of had the world ahead of me, didn't really understand rehab and things like that, but 5 months in and I actually just completed my first field session on Monday, fully with the boys. So, mate, it's pretty special. Like, to be at that point now, have a strong knee and be ticking all the boxes, looking at a seven-month return, yeah, I'm tracking ahead and just stoked to be at
that
point.
That's mental. That is mental.
It's really good.
Can we just go back on to Craig Bellamy? I had the luxury of working there for 6 months after I didn't have a job at the Tigers. And the thing that I got about Craig was the way he would invest in his players. That was the thing that I got out of leaving Richmond where, you know, things weren't going well and you sort of become a bit standoffish. But he's in amongst the boys and you can just see the love for him and vice versa. Is that what you've seen?
Yeah, definitely. Like, again, these are conversations I have over and over, having experienced other NRL clubs. Yeah. And, you know, I've had great times at all those clubs, but it's night and day comparing Melbourne to any other club, as well as the coaching. You know, Craig's able to command a room and address any situation with your football, but then at the same time, treat you as a mate and get the best out of you. And that's what you want as a player. You want to be able to relate to the coach, but also when he says something, you need to listen. And so, yeah, it is pretty special, like you said.
Storm have got this culture that as NRL fans in Melbourne, we understand, but there's a lot of Melbourne that, in a way, we don't understand because of this culture that they've installed. Who in particular has impressed you from a training perspective since you've got there? Who sets the standard at Melbourne?
Yeah, I think obviously the leadership group. You talk about some of the older crew that are still there. Billy, Cam, Hoffman, Chambers, Jesse Bromwich, they're sort of the older guys, and they do set the standard. They lead by example. At training, Billy is just sort of another level. He controls the team, gives words of advice, and is just 100 miles an hour. And when you see guys like that who are, you know, 15 years into their career and still running rings around any of the boys, you know, that sort of inspires everyone. And as I said, there's leadership, but then the boys lead by their actions. You know, it's not all talk, and that consistently around the club sets the tone for all the younger guys.
When you got there, and you spoke about why you chose Melbourne as the club that you wanted to return to in the NRL, but do you get the sense there's a bit of a no-dickhead policy basically at Melbourne, that you fit into the way we do things or you don't play? It's as simple as that.
Well, yeah, there is a no-dickhead policy, 100%. And, you know, I imagine some guys in the past just may not fit into that. You go there to work hard, and work hard is what's respected. So if you have that attitude, mate, you'll do fine at the Storm.
You've had to wait, obviously, a little bit longer than you thought to play.
Yeah.
What will it feel like when you actually pull on that purple jersey to play your first game?
Mate, it'd just be unbelievable. Like, I I'm a bit of a dreamer, and I envision all that stuff a lot. I try to focus week to week, but yeah, it's something I know I'm going to achieve and I know I can achieve. And, yeah, mate, when that moment comes, it'll just really cap everything off.
And obviously, big game, Anzac Day clash, Storm versus New Zealand. So it's always a huge game. Mm. It'll be great to obviously play in that next year. But what's the feeling like in the build-up to that? Obviously, it's a bit of a week away.
Yeah.
Has it been much talked about yet?
Yeah, it's good. It'll be a short turnaround. And the thing about Melbourne is whether it's a milestone or someone's debut at the club or an Anzac Day clash, they make everything so special, you know. So the build-up's going to be great. And I know being able to have that Melbourne playing the Warriors, a New Zealand team, I imagine the day will be pretty epic and the boys will get around it.
Just with rugby league versus AFL, we have you know, a runner running out, in and out. Bellamy talks to the players pre-game and at half-time. What, in between pre-game and half-time, is there much instruction from the coach?
The opportunities come at, like, any stoppages. So whenever a try is scored, coaches will come out and relay
so
messages.
So a runner will come out.
Yeah. There's not a heap, though. But, yeah the guys in the yellow and blue shirts, they're the ones sending the messages.
Sandor, we love the Storm in Melbourne. Mm. That's a given. Not a lot of us understand the positioning. Give us a little bit of a background on your position or some insight, but the way that you play your game, play your football when you're back. What can we expect?
Yeah, so I'm...
And whose spot are you taking? Are we calling Willie Chambers? I'm happy to make that call.
Yeah, mate, if he's putting anyone in a chokehold again, maybe I'll get it. But no, I play on the wing. I actually was pretty keen to make a move to the centres and put some time in the preseason. So I'm that's the direction I'm headed in. But for me, mate, it's always been focusing on getting plenty of carries, taking the high ball, and scoring as many tries as possible. So that's sort of my contribution. And obviously now putting a lot of time into defence, which is a big thing for the Storm.
You're obviously new to the club and you've spoken so highly of Cam and Billy.
Yep.
How long can they do what they're doing for? And I mean that from a body perspective, from what you've seen, but also from the mental capacity and exhaustion that it takes to be as good as they are and have been for so long.
Yeah, 100%. I think the thing with those guys is they're... What the trigger point is going to be is making sure that they've still got the fire lit, you know what I mean? So I think they're so competitive, and the moment they feel they're not at their best, I guess that'll be the trigger for them. But at the moment, you wouldn't even know. The way they train and the way they get through things, they still, you know, lead the boys and they're still doing unbelievable things on the field. So to be honest, when they're ready, they'll call it. Maybe then they're 40, who knows?
Before we let you go, your career and in many ways your life is about to become full circle in the space of a 4.5-5 year period. One thing I love about you is you've never shied away from the suspension and what happened, and that you've dealt with that and accepted it and moved on. But has it given you a greater perspective on not only the opportunity to play elite sport, but life in itself?
Oh, mate, 100%. I mean, I don't look on that period of suspension with any regrets. As I said, I got to go away, and the progression of me maturing and growing up was probably accelerated through all of that. And I couldn't, you know, I wouldn't take that away, to be honest, because of the position I'm in now. But, you know, I did miss out on the opportunity to, you know, extend my career and progress a little bit over that 3 or 4 years. But to be honest, as you said, to play elite sport, it is pretty special. And you've got to understand that you need to have that gratitude. And, mate, just to be back where I am now with the opportunity I have at such a great club, I don't look back with any regrets, and I'm just stoked to be in this position.
It's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere when the Storm take on the New Zealand Warriors next Wednesday at Amy Park from 7 p.m. Amy Park's bud is going to descend into a blackout for the Anzac ceremony. It's going to be a pre-game experience like no other. You can go online at tickettech.com.au. More than 10,000 tickets already sold, so they are selling fast. Jump online, tickettech.com.au, to avoid missing out. Sandor, it's been great to meet you.
Appreciate it.
Wonderful for you to tell your story to our listeners, and we look forward to chatting to you again soon.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.